This will now be recorded.
Okay, good afternoon. It's 5 p.m. Tuesday, June 9th, 2020, and we'll call the City Council meeting to order. We start our meetings off with an invocation and with a pledge. I'll lead the invocation, and Councilmember McCann will lead us in the pledge. Join us if you'd like. Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings that you've given us. We thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy, and we pray your guidance this night on the decisions that we make for our city. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge to our nation's flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now the Texas flag.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the roll call, and I'll call off your name. Please say here. Spencer H. Smith, Mayor, is present. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem.
Michael Blomquist, present.
Okay. Jennifer McCann, place one.
Jennifer McCann, place one, present.
Thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three.
Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, present.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four.
John Ryder, place four, present.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five.
Jody Nicholas, five, is present.
Okay, thank you. City Manager David Mitchell.
City Manager David Mitchell, present.
Okay, thank you. City Secretary Julie Helsham.
Julie Helsham, present.
Okay, thank you. Got everybody here. Okay, next item on the agenda is mayoral proclamations and presentations. I see none.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Next item on the agenda is consent items. Number one, discuss and consider approving the minutes of the meeting held on May 26th, 2020, and take the appropriate action. Mr. Blomquist.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the minutes of the meeting held on May 26, 2020, as written.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Ryder.
I'll second that motion,
okay,
Mayor.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, seeing none, I'll call the roll. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, place one, votes yes.
Thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four. How do you vote?
John Ryder, place four, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. The motion passes unanimously 5-0. Next item, number six, is presentation by citizens. Citizens who desire to address the council on any matter may do so during this item. Please understand that while the council appreciates hearing from your comments, state law, Texas Government Code 551.042, prohibits them from, one, engaging in discussion other than providing a statement of specific factual information, or reciting existing city policy, and two, taking action other than directing staff to place the matter on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes.
If there's any citizen that would like to make a comment at this time and you're calling from a phone, please press star six to unmute your mic.
This is Linda Nash. Can you hear me?
Yes, who can. Please go ahead, Ms. Nash.
Okay. There is a food distribution at the Harker Heights Food Bank this Thursday from 8 until 11. We're preparing 210 boxes for 210 families. I just wanted to put that on the record. Anybody want to come out and volunteer, they are more than welcome to. We're putting the baskets together tomorrow. We've been doing it for the last week. So tomorrow will be the last day of putting it together, and then Thursday will actually be the distribution that we'll be doing for the citizens.
Okay, thank you for your information. It's been noted. And also, Ms. Nash, could you give us your address again for the record, please?
3006 Sundance Drive.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Anyone else?
If there's any other citizen that would like to make a comment at this time, please press star 6 to unmute your mic.
Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. Next item on the agenda is number 7, public hearings. Number 1, conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider approving an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, to modify the Code of Harker Heights, Chapter 74, Schedule 5, by adding 3 stop signs at the Pueblo Trace and Pima Trail intersection and take the appropriate action. Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Mark Hyde, Public Works Director. The new Killeen Independent School District Middle School is scheduled to open this fall with an initial student population of 1,094, staff population of 100 members. The campus is located between Warriors Path and Pueblo Trace with entrances and exits on both roadways. With the anticipated increase in vehicular and pedestrian traffic, the Harker Heights Police Department recommends a 4-way stop intersection at Pueblo Trace and Pima Trail. The 4-way stop will provide a safe crosswalk for students entering and exiting the campus each day. And Julie, if you could pull my PowerPoint up. And if you could go to the next slide, please. So we're standing on Pima, looking back to the south. And on the left is the middle school driveway, which is an extension of Pima Trail. The stop sign in front of my pickup there, the white pickup, is the existing stop sign. And so we would be adding the 2 you see, and then another one there at the new driveway. And so that'll be coming in as well. Public Works and the Police Department recommend approving the ordinance, and we do have Lieutenant Stefik here who did make the recommendation for the Police Department, should you have any questions for him. I'll be glad to answer any questions for you.
Okay, do you have any questions from the council or anyone telephonically? Mark, I'm just driving out there. That area looks really good, and it's definitely necessary, but not only with all the students going there, but all the new construction that's going up in that vicinity. So it's good. Okay, so public hearing. Is there anyone to speak for or against this item? So public hearing, anyone to speak for or against this item? Okay, hearing none, inspect that a council to have a motion. Okay, I don't know who that is. Okay. Wait, there's no tag next to you. Okay. Mrs. McCann.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to make a motion to approve an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, to modify the Code of Harker Heights, Chapter 74, Schedule V, by adding 3 stop signs at the Pueblo Trace and Pima Trail intersection.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a second?
This is Councilwoman Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3. I would like to second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on the item?
Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Ryder.
Thank you for putting the knucklehead markers on those signs, too, to remind everybody to stop at the sign. Those are all new, obviously. Is that road that I'm looking at straight ahead coming into the closest stop sign, is that the one that we're going to replace or restructure, repave? That one road there, we redoing that one?
The road that is looking south, you're correct me if I'm wrong, Mark. This is David Mitchell, city manager. That is Pueblo Trace, I believe, that we're standing on here, right, Mark?
Correct. This is Mark Hyde, Public Works Director. Correct. We are standing on Pueblo Trace looking south.
Yeah.
FEMA is where the pickup is sitting.
School's new entrance is that one that you see on the left there on the, that'll be their western entrance to allow those neighborhoods to come in that way.
We're in relationship, wasn't there a duplex subdivision or something over there that we're?
There's a number of them.
Yes.
That are going in all around that.
That road's not going to be repaved, that one I'm looking at?
Pueblo Trace is not at this time.
Gotcha. Okay.
The new duplexes would be this side of the new driveway.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I think this is a great spot, and we need this for this location for safety. The little flags work great during the daylight hours, but I would ask to consider adding, if you've ever been down Chaparral, when they added those new stop signs down there, they had the lighted stop signs for the night, because this is a new stop sign. When you put them out in a new spot, people at night don't know that maybe, and you just don't want somebody blowing through there and something to happen. So that's just a suggestion. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on the item? Okay. We have a motion and a second. I'll go ahead and poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay. Thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one. How do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann. I vote yes.
Okay. Thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I vote yes.
Okay. Thank you. John Ryder, place four. How do you vote?
Councilman John Ryder, place four, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
This is Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously 5-0. The second item under public hearings, conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider approving an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, to change the zoning designation from R1, one family dwelling district, to R1-R, rural one family dwelling district, on property described as Tract 20, Lakeside Hills, Section 2, a subdivision of Bell County, according to the plat of record in Cabinet A, Slide 43-C, plat records of Bell County, Texas, containing 6.11 acres, generally located at 10518 Meadow Circle, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, and take the appropriate action. Planning and Development Director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. This is Joseph Molise, Director of Planning and Development for the City of Harker Heights. As you can see from the photo or from this map, the property we're talking about is a vacant property at 10518 Meadow Circle. The applicant is here before you tonight to request a rezoning from R1, the single family dwelling district, to R1R, which is the rural one family dwelling district, for this piece of property. As a reminder, R1R was created to allow these larger ranchette type developments to have larger accessory structures. A lot of times people that live in these areas have domestic animals like cows and horses, and they need the larger barns and so forth to be able to take care of them and or their property. And so the applicant is looking to rezone to R1R so that they can build, in addition to their single family residence, a larger accessory structure, more than likely being a shop building, and then they want the potential for housing chickens and goats on their property with the necessary enclosures. And again, the R1R zoning district was created for just that type of use in this particular part of the city. And so if you look at the next slide, you see that that's the property, and again, it's vacant. It does have access to Meadow Circle. It is an older street in the city, so there's not a curb and gutter type situation, but you can see where they've been accessing the property. The next slide should show the zoning for the property. You can see it is zoned R1, and it is surrounded by R1 zonings to the immediate west. A little bit further to the west on High Oak Drive is 4280 High Oak, which is an existing R1R. So you can see that there are other R1R lots in that area. And were this map to be zoomed out even farther, you'd see several more. Again, this area was kind of what was in the mind of the developers when they created the R1R zoning district. The properties to the immediate east are outside of the city limits, but they are also single-family residences on larger lots. The next slide will show the existing land use map, and as you can see, the property is surrounded by vacant and occupied single-family residential houses. The next map shows the future land use map, and the request of the applicant is to maintain the single-family residential character, so their proposal would not be in conflict with the comprehensive plan or the of 2007 or the future land use map from said plan. So staff feels there'd be minimal impacts to the surrounding area, especially given the size of the lots. The next map would show the notification map, and we sent notifications out to the 14 properties adjacent or within the 400-foot buffer of this particular property, including those in the ETJ. And of those 14 properties, we received no responses recommending approval or denial. And so therefore, staff does recommend approval of this applicant's request for rezoning. They meet the requirements of the R1R. They're in the area that was essentially the guideline for the R1R. Their property is at least 2 acres in size. And again, it's in harmony with the future land use map. On May 27, 2020, during a telephonic meeting, public hearing, the Planning and Zoning Commission did vote 6-0 to recommend approval of this rezoning as well. I believe an applicant is on the phone should you have any questions, and I would certainly be happy to answer any questions you may have regarding this property. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Molise? Okay, are there any questions for the applicant? Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Joseph, I just had one question. Is this city services providing for a sewer, or is this going to be on an aerobic system?
It's going to be on a septic system. This is Joseph Molise. This whole area is outside of the gravity sewer system for the city, hence the large size lot. So yes, they'll have city water, but we'll be on a septic.
All right, thank you.
Anybody else from the council? Okay, this is a public hearing. Anyone to speak for or against this item? Okay, hearing none, it's back to the council. Do you have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
This is Nicholas.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Nicholas.
I make a motion to approve an ordinance to change zoning designation from R1 one-family dwelling district to R1R rural one family dwelling district on property described as Tract 20, Lakeside Hills, Section 2, a subdivision of Bell County, according to the plat of record in Cabinet A, Slide 3-C, plat records of records of Bell County, Texas, containing 6.11 acres, generally located at 10518 Meadow Circle, Parker Heights, Bell County, Texas.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ryder.
I'll second that motion, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Seeing none, I'll go ahead and poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one. How do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place one. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four. How do you vote?
John Ryder, place four, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. The motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Continuing in public hearings, item number three, conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider approving an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas to change the zoning designation from R3 multifamily dwelling district to R2I two-family infill dwelling district on property described as lots 1-5, block 3, Kern Terrace, second extension, Harker Heights, per plat FF record in Cabinet A, slide 225-A, plat records of Bell County, Texas, and 1.241 acres out of the V.L. Evans survey, abstract 288, generally located southwest of the intersection of Jamie Road and North Mary Jo Drive, currently addressed as 200, 202, 204, 206, and 208 Jamie Road, and 200 Jan Circle, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, and take the appropriate action. Planning and Development Director.
Thank you again, Mr. Mayor and Council. This is Joseph Molise, Director of Planning and Development for the City of Harker Heights. So the property before you tonight should look familiar. It's one that you've seen as a body before. And so we're going through the development cycle again. So first, the applicant is requesting a rezone because they wish to change the use of the property, and then they're going to replat the property. So that'll be the second agenda item you'll see from them this evening. And so, again, we're talking about this property here, essentially surrounded by Jan, or surrounding Jan Circle, which is a private road that used to house a mobile home park. This aerial photograph that you can see is taken from 2019, and since then those units have been removed, so the property is actually vacant. That's apparent in the next slide, which shows the Jan Circle, and it shows a view from Mary Jo, and you can see that the units have been removed. So initially, this property was all purchased from the estate of Mrs. Adelaide K. Moss, who owned that property and who owned the mobile home park on Roy Reynolds. And after her passing, her estate had that property for sale. It was bought by some investors who were trying to develop the property. And so they took it before you on September 10th, 2019, to rezone the property from RMH, which is a mobile home park, and R1M, which is the manufactured single-family dwelling district, to R3, which is a multifamily dwelling district, with the intent of doing some type of multifamily development, whether it was an apartment or duplexes or a combination thereof. Since that time, those developers have sold this particular property to another developer who works with veterans groups to develop housing for veterans, and as such would like to build duplexes on these properties. As the zoning currently sits, duplexes are allowed within an R3 zoning district. However, in order to maintain a little bit higher density, the applicant is here before you tonight to request a zoning change from R3 to R2I, which allows smaller duplexes on smaller lots, the minimum lot size being 6,000 square feet in this case, with slightly smaller setbacks. So again, this was done so that they could have a little bit of a higher density for this project. So the next slide shows the existing land use. As you can see, it's currently vacant. It is surrounded by multi-family dwelling units or dwelling districts. You've got single family, duplexes, including R2I immediately across the street. There is some commercial property to the south, that being the properties fronting Veterans Memorial Boulevard. The next slide does show the zoning, and as you can see, immediately across Mary Jo to the east is R2I zoning, where this same developer and potentially any development along Lynn Drive in the future had requested that they be allowed to build duplexes of the infill variety in this part of town. And again, the R2I zoning district was created to try to bring development along a lot of these infill lots in the north side of town that tend to be smaller. And so what the applicant is seeking is in line with the creation of that new zoning district. The next map shows the future land use map as established in the 2007 comprehensive plan. And you can see that at the time, the future land use map just kind of designated the existing uses for those properties. So it designated mixed residential for the vast majority of the area, and then a mobile home park for the existing mobile home structures in the area. Staff feels that part of that development is a mixed use, as R2I is considered a mixed residential development, and frankly feels that overriding existing and potential future mobile home parks with stick-built developments is of a better and higher use for the property. So staff feels that this is in line with the, if not the direct intent, the spirit of the future, of the comprehensive plan and the future land use map, and staff feels that it's an appropriate request for this particular piece of property. The next slide shows a notification map in which staff sent out 14 notices to the properties adjacent and within the 400-foot buffer. As you can see, there are clearly more than 14 individual lots within that buffer area. However, most of those lots are owned by the same developers that bought this property. Hence, you only have 14 actual property owners that were notified. And in any case, nobody responded recommending approval or denial of this rezoning. And so staff feels that with the positive development of building stick-built structures, that we would recommend approval of this rezoning request. And on May 27th, during a telephonic public hearing, the Planning and Zoning Commission did vote 6-0 to recommend approval of this rezoning. That being said, I believe the applicant has a representative here that could discuss this and the plat as the next agenda item, and I would certainly be happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions from the council for Mr. Molise? Mr. Ryder?
Yes, Joseph. Looking at the park, it's not existing anymore. The mobile homes are gone. Was this development done with, was there actual sewer at each one of those mobile homes, or were there septics?
Those were actual sewer. So there are sewer lateral lines in the existing park.
Okay. So no septic existing there?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Joseph, you might be able to answer this, or maybe Mark would, but the existing sewer lines there, would that have to be totally redone then to support the current, the new infrastructure going in there for these infill?
Yes and no. This is Joseph Molise, and then of course Mr. Hyde can step in as necessary. As you'll see in the plat, the preliminary plat application that's coming up, they're going to utilize some of the existing water and sewer along North Mary Jo. So there is a water line and a sewer line in parallel on the west side of the road that would directly feed some of the property, some of the lots fronting Mary Jo. However, as you'll see in the plat, the applicant is intending to maintain Jan Circle as a private road, and the new lots will front Jan Circle, and so they will be required to add city approved and city dedicated water and sewer lines along Jan Circle to facilitate the use of those other properties.
Okay, I'll hold my other questions till the next presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else? Any other questions for Mr. Molise from the council? Okay, hearing none, thank you. This is a public hearing. Is there anyone to speak for or against this item? Okay. And hearing none, we'll go to the council for a motion. Mr. Ryder.
Yes, Mayor. I make a recommendation of approval of the zoning designation from R3 multifamily dwelling district to R2I two family infill dwelling district on property described as lots 1-5, block 3, Kern Terrace, second extension, Harker Heights, per plat of record in cabinet A, slide 225-A, plat records of Bell County, Texas, and 1.241 acres of the VL Evans Survey Abstract 288, generally located southwest of the intersection of Jamie Road and North Mary Jo Drive, currently addressed as 200, 202, 204, 206, and 208 Jamie Road and 200 Jan Circle, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, based on the following. Do I need to read that also? Proposed use and zoning compatible?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, thank you.
That's good. Thank you. And Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, my second.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, and hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
It's Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
It's Jennifer McCann, place one, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four. How do you vote?
John Ryder, place four, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously 5-0. Next item on the agenda is old business. I see none.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Next item, number nine, new business, number one. discuss and consider approving a preliminary plat for Freedom Park subdivision on property described as lots 1 through 5, Block 3, Kern Terrace, Second Extension, Harker Heights, per plat of record in Cabinet A, Slide 225-A, plat records of Bell County, Texas, and 1.241 acres out of the V.L. Evans Survey, Abstract 288, generally located southwest of the intersection of Jamie Road and North Mary Jo Drive, currently addressed as 200, 202, 204, 206, and 208 Jamie Road, and 200 Jan Circle, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, and take the appropriate action. Planning and Development Director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. This is Joseph Melias, Director of Planning and Development. And as I indicated before, this is the second step in the development process in which, now that they've secured the appropriate zoning, the applicant is before you today to request preliminary plat approval of this same piece of property. As you can see, the previous mobile home park that was Jan Circle is now being developed into a two-family development. And so the next slide shows, again, the street views of Jan Circle and the vacant property along North Mary Jo. The next slide shows the actual proposed development. Is what you can see from there is that they are proposing that this be done in two phases. The first phase would be the properties fronting Mary Jo, and then the second phase would be the remaining properties that would front Jan Circle. Part of the reason they're doing that is because, as I mentioned in the zoning case, they can actually access existing city infrastructure as far as water and sewer is concerned along Mary Jo for those three lots 1, 8, and 9, and are more than likely going to submit a final plat for that very quickly after approval of this plat, if approved. Phase two would be the requirement that they add infrastructure that would be dedicated to the city, and that would, of course, be the water and sewer lines that would be in within the Jan Circle Street that would service the rest of the units. So that being said, staff has looked at the preliminary plat, and we, of course, went back and forth with the developer over our comments and their responses. And at this time, staff does recommend approval of this preliminary plat, as the applicant has met all of the criteria within the Code of Ordinances and has answered all of the comments of staff. So the Planning and Zoning Commission did approve this particular preliminary plat on May 27th with a vote of 6-0, and so it now stands before you for its ultimate approval. Again, staff recommends approval. The applicant is here to answer any questions via telephone, and I would certainly be happy to answer any questions as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Joseph, these are very busy diagrams, and I was unable to see or delineate where the actual fire hydrants were. And my concern is, with it being a private circle, is that going to give any issues with the fire being able to service or maintain? Because I know they turn over those fire hydrants once we accept them, but it's on a private drive. Is that going to be on that, or is it going to be an issue?
Okay, so as of now, the fire hydrants are actually along Mary Jo and not within Jan Circle. They meet the requirements of distance and so forth, as indicated or required by the fire marshal. So from that perspective, that won't be an issue. And I apologize for the busyness. Obviously, I get to see nice big giant printouts of these things, right, and kind of go through them a little more finely. But the bottom line is that, yes, Jan Circle is going to remain a private road. A lot of it has to do with the fact that if they were to widen the road to city standards, they'd lose a lot of the lot size and the developable property. However, it is going to be designated as a separate tract, and that tract will be an access easement. So the tenants and owners within those units and the city would be able to access the road at all times. There are existing speed bumps on the road that are being removed, and as part of the conditions of development, that Jan Circle will be designated as a fire lane, and so there will be no parking on the street. So again, emergency services should be able to access it, and that's part of why this drawing is so busy, is because you see more than standard required parking, off-road parking, because they have to anticipate that people can't be parking on the side of the road, and so they've done that. And the utilities are put in and around Jan Circle, so there's also utility easements over the road that gives the city the ability to service and maintain the water and sewer lines that are in existence there that will be to okay. service that development.
That answers a lot of my questions. But, you know, being that it's not a non-standard road, and, you know, you're going to, you say you're going to put emergency lanes and mark it accordingly, but knowing that it's a narrow road and people live there, they will park there. So that is still a serious concern for emergency vehicles, especially fire trucks, ambulances, those type of things, being able to get in there at all times. So it's something that, you know, I don't know if they're going to have an HOA or how they're going to maintain the order within this little development, but that's something that they have to make sure that's available, because, you know, that's somebody's life you're trying to go save. And so we want to make sure that that's not encroached upon, so that way we have those, you know, accessibility for the city services to be able to provide them with those emergency services.
Right, Councilman, you're absolutely correct. Mayor Pro Tem, excuse me. There will be an HOA that will be responsible for that road, and so that includes maintenance, that includes policing it to ensure that nobody's parking there. But as it is a striped and designated fire lane, I believe that also gives the police and fire department the authority to ticket and tow as necessary. They will be required to have signs posted saying fire lane, tow away zone, as required within our building and fire codes. And so just as the fire marshal or the police could ticket somebody for parking in the fire lane at Market Heights, the same rules would be applicable in this location as well.
So being that it's private doesn't limit the police from being able to police that?
As far as I understand, that's correct. There's obviously representatives from the police department here that might be able to answer that more fully.
It's a private road. Can you guys enforce all the rules and regulations? Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Ryder.
So as far as the condition of the road, as Councilman Blomquist was talking about, that's going to be a private road, so the condition's not a consideration for the approval of the plat.
It is.
Does it look okay to you? I mean, as far as your thoughts of that development?
At this point, no. I think there's going to be some improvements. Again, they've got speed bumps on there that'll have to be removed.
Yeah.
You can't have those in a fire lane. But on the plus side, because it is a private road,
yeah,
it does fall under the property maintenance code. So just the way we can require a business to make sure their driveway is adequate and not full of potholes or large cracks, we can make the same requirements of this property.
Okay, good. Very good. So we're actually approving phase one, is that correct?
We are actually approving the preliminary plat for the entire thing. And so the way our code is written, preliminary plats are approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission and then the City Council, and then the final plat is approved administratively, where they'll bring it back to us and we'll go through it and make sure it meets all the requirements. By that time, any infrastructure will have had to have been accepted by Public Works, and at that point, the mayor will sign it, the chairman of the P&Z will sign it, and I will sign it as a final plat, so it won't come back to you.
Okay.
What more than likely is going to happen in this case, as I mentioned, is phase one's probably going to come back immediately, because there's no infrastructure required for those three lots to front Mary Jo. And then they'll develop those lots and obviously take that profit and use it to develop the rest of the development.
So as far as phase one, they're gonna develop. Phase two, they'll develop at a later time. However, we will prove it, but you're gonna have control over what's getting done and making sure it's getting done accordingly or according to that plat.
That's correct. They okay. cannot be issued building permits until the platting is completed. So that's the hurry for phase one. So
okay.
we will not issue a final plat until the road is up to specs, until the water and sewer have been accepted by Public Works. And at that point, then we would issue a final plat and then they would get building permits.
Okay. What's the width of that road, that private road, Joseph?
I believe it's 24 feet, which 24 is the minimal feet. Requirement for a fire lane.
Okay, so there won't be on-street parking then?
No.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Molise? I've got a question. Did the applicant, did they express any concern about, when I've driven up in that area up there, have they expressed any concern with the illegal dumping that goes up in that part of town, and also the security of the construction site as they're building these units in there? Have they talked to that at all?
Well, absolutely. They're of course well aware of the area. They in fact are responsible for cleaning up a great deal of that illegal dumping. Important to stress that the applicant did that, not necessarily the property owner at the time. So they've already invested a lot of of blood, sweat, and tears into developing this property. They understand the risks involved with developing infill properties. If you've been down the street recently, you'll see that there is an RV parked at the sites on the other side of Mary Jo to maintain security on those sites.
Right.
But the general belief is that once people start occupying these units, you'll have more eyes, you'll have a more secure location that'll make further development a lot more possible, because you'll have a higher presence there. Yeah. But yes, they are aware of the specific issues with this part of town.
Yeah, I think that's something that that PD, as far as reaching out to them, as far as community watch type of things, is that that area is really going to see a lot of growth in the coming years if all these things come to fruition. Okay, any other questions for Mr. Molise? Okay, this is new business. To have a motion. Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to make a motion to approve a request for a preliminary plat approval for Freedom Park subdivision on the property described as lots 1 through 5, block 3, Kern Terrace, second extension, Harker Heights, per plat of record in cabinet A, slide 225-alpha, plat records of Bell County, Texas, and 1.241 acres out of the V.L. Evans Survey, Abstract 288, generally located southwest of the intersection of Jamie Road and North May Joe Drive, currently addressed as 200-202-204-206-206 Jamie Road, okay, and 200 Jan Circle, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas. Is that a typo there? Is that Mary Joe?
Yeah, I think that should be Mary Jo, and then, yeah, 206 and 208 Jamie Road. Okay, good. We have a motion and a second. Mrs. McCann.
I'd like to second, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, seeing none and hearing none, I'll go ahead and poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Thank you. Jennifer McCann, place 1. How do you vote?
It's Jennifer McCann, place 1. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine. I place 3. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place 4. How do you vote?
John Ryder, place 4, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jody Nicholas, place 5. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place 5. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And a motion passes unanimously 5-0. The next item is number 10, reports of advisory boards and commissions. Do I have any input?
There is none.
Okay, got none. Okay. Number 11, items from council. Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Last evening, Mayor, I attended the Bell County Public Health District meeting for Bell County. Dr. Chadwell chaired it, and they went over a number of things on the agenda, primarily dealing with the budget for this year and then for next year. The budget for this year was approved by the board. But there was no changes to the board that would affect the city of Harker Heights. But for the fiscal year 20 through 2021, there was a slight increase, and that will be coming back for a vote to the board. But it was a nominal increase of $4,532 for Harker Heights, and that's based on population from the census of 2010. So one thing that we can look at based on the results of the 2020 census is the proportions may change a little bit. So we might have that funding might go up because it's based on the population of Bell County.
Okay.
And I did raise the issue. I did a review there, the document for the cooperative agreement, which hasn't really been reviewed and updated for the last 20, 25 years for the board. And there were some changes that need to be looked at as far as, one, have it cleaned up, brought up to date as far as what's going on in, 2020 here. Look at some of the members that aren't on there. Nolanville notably was not on there And that's, you know, something that I think that I made a recommendation that some of the larger municipalities, if they're not on the board, they should be brought up onto the board rather than just be encompassed into Bell County. Other than that, the meeting went, there was a lot of talk about the COVID-19 as you were aware of what's going on. So they just, you know, reminded folks to stay vigilant, don't get complacent. There's, you know, you see a lot of people going out, especially you go out to HEB, Lowe's, Home Depot, not wearing masks. You know, they say that the highest, contaminant right now is looking like it's, you know, people that are symptomatic, that are coughing or sneezing. But again, keep washing your hands. So that's all I have to report this time.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for your participation with that as well. Any other items from the council? Mr. Ryder?
Yes, Mayor. I wanted to take an opportunity to see if maybe there is a possibility in the very near future that we might get our chief appraiser, Billy White from the Tax Appraisal District, to maybe come before the city council and discuss the appraisal process for our area anyway. I'm sure that I understand he's meeting with the city of Killeen council today. But I would like an opportunity to maybe we could hear a discussion about that. I anticipate, if we haven't already heard, that we'll probably hear from a lot of residents, probably more commercial than residential, but that's a very substantial increase again this year. So,
okay. Yeah, I think it's a good idea, and it's been noted. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, moving on to item 12, staff reports. Number one, receive and discuss training on cyber security awareness. IT director.
Mayor, city council, this is Gary Bates, IT director for the city of Harker Heights. Last legislative session, the Texas passed House Bill 3834 that requires all government employees and city council members to receive an annual cybersecurity training. The security training that we'll be using is was provided to us by our TML. They put together a really good cybersecurity training program that most of the employees have gone through. It's a video that we're going to watch. It's about 17 minutes long that will fulfill our requirement by the state of Texas.
Welcome to our cybersecurity awareness training. Why are we doing this? Well, because it's now required by Texas House Bill 3834 as codified by Government Code Section 2054.519B. But mainly because people are trying to steal your stuff and destroy your organization. Every time an entity gets hacked, the response costs an average of $158 per record. This applies to any record containing personally identifiable information. It's estimated that 13% of cyber attacks hit the public sector. Texas is the number two most attacked state, both by number of victims and by the amount of loss. Everything's bigger in Texas, including cyber crimes. So that's why we're here, to learn how to protect your organization and you personally from cyber crimes. Let's move. Let's talk about information security. Now, this is a broad term that covers the protection of data and the systems that contain it and move it around. Strong practices are like building a protective dome around your organization. Even better than that, to a cyber criminal, almost any information from your organization is valuable, down to your org charts or employee contact information. I am sure that your IT department is working hard on this. But it takes everyone at an organization to make it effective. That means all of us are responsible for cybersecurity.
Now let's define information that your organization has, which helps inform the security needed to protect it. At the lowest level is public information. This is the least sensitive and would cause the least harm if disclosed. It includes data that's used for marketing. Above that is proprietary information. This only makes it outside your organization on a limited basis. If disclosed, it could hurt your competitive advantage. Data like the specs of a new product. Then there is private information. This is compartmental data that might not cause harm, but is best kept private, like the data known by your human resources department. Above that is confidential information, information that people outside your organization shouldn't know and might cause damage if disclosed. The highest tier is sensitive information. This is the data with the most limited access, even within your organization, and would cause the most harm if disclosed. All the levels of information can be found in a wide array of file types. You need to know which types you have access to and which types you need to help protect. Now let's look at where the information is stored. Of course, much is on your local computer, but then there are the thumb drives and hard drives you connect. But then there are the machines connected to your machine. That includes your coworkers' machines, but also your network servers, which are all connected to the cloud, which is also connected to any devices that you use. Phones, tablets, watches, data is everywhere. Let's now look at the four main pillars of data security. There is the machine level, which includes all the devices that contain data. The data level, which is the physical data itself. The network level, which are the pathways by which computers share data. And the internet level, which is the world of data and connections outside your organization. If one falls, they can all fall.
Let's talk about the machine level. I'm gonna go ahead and borrow this and poke around. Makes you uncomfortable, doesn't it? That's because we keep important data on our devices that doesn't need to be shared or stolen. The top risks at the machine level in your organization include weak passwords, antivirus software that is not installed or updated, poor email rules for clicking links, a lack of control of flash drives and other portable connections, no controls for accessing public Wi-Fi connections, a lack of administrator controls to prevent downloading of apps or programs, and a lack of cybersecurity training. Facilities have a role in safeguarding machines. Office access should be strictly controlled with coded or badged entry and no tailgating. Wow, good cybersecurity practices. I guess she paid attention during her cybersecurity training. Make sure all doors are locked. Smoke break doors are notorious for being propped open, so double check those. Individual workstations should have privacy screens on monitors and be locked with passwords whenever left unattended. Also, ports and cables should be inspected regularly for sniffers, keyloggers, and other harmful devices that monitor data to the computer. But don't forget about that computer in your pocket. Your phone is connected to your organization, especially if you use the Wi-Fi. So, lock it down with MFA or multi-factor authentication. It means using two or more factors before unlocking your device. Now that includes passcodes, fingerprints, and facial recognition whenever possible. It would be a big problem if you lost your phone, so enable apps that can wipe your phone remotely before you lose it. Remember when life was easier? Networking hardware should always be kept in locked areas, as well as any electronic control systems that handle traffic lights, water, and other valuable services. Let's talk about passwords. Turns out we've created password rules that are hard to remember but easy to hack. For instance, the word troubadour and three. Uncommon, but a non-gibberish word with common substitutions for letters. But when it comes to remembering it, good luck. Then this, correct course battery staple. Four random but common words, which is harder to hack. At 1,000 guesses a second, the first one would take 3 days to hack, while the next would take 550 years. So correct horse battery staple wins. Is it easy to remember? You just did. Here are some password tips. Avoid single words found in the dictionary or proper nouns. Do not keep passwords written on paper, or in clear text electronically. Do not share passwords. Do not use the same password or close variants on multiple systems. Enable MFA or multi-factor authentication on all systems possible, and change passwords quickly if necessary.
Let's now talk about the data level. This is the quantities, characters, and symbols on which operations are performed. You must think of data as bundles of cash. The bad guys want your data and are coming for it. Common data level mistakes include: employees are not aware of the value of data, off-site data backups are not provided or performed, or the organization's data is not encrypted to protect from hackers. So, here are some tips. Keep your workspace clean, destroying sensitive data on paper and hardware when no longer needed. Keep your electronic spaces clean as well, deleting old files and not leaving copies of sensitive material in different locations. Follow guidance on passwords at the data level, changing frequently and not repeating passwords. Make sure you back up all data regularly. Make sure your antivirus and anti-malware software is installed and up to date. Install all critical updates whenever they are released. Only connect to secure Wi-Fi and never free public Wi-Fi. Encrypt all your data on all external drives. Make sure all your devices auto-lock. Only allow vetted third parties access to the data, and only specifically the data they need to do their job.
But what about the computer graveyard? Each device holds data regardless of whether the computer is still in use. Here's some tips.
Completely erase old hard drives. Before sending computers on, old hard drives and non-writable media should be removed and destroyed. Personal devices and writable media should be reformatted per the manufacturer's instructions. SIM cards should be removed and destroyed. Paper data should be shredded or disposed of in protected receptacles to be destroyed by reputable companies.
Now let's talk about the network pillar. Remember, no computer is an island. You're never on your own, even if you're the grumpy guy who only works by himself in that lonely broom closet. Here are some common network level mistakes. Antivirus software or firewalls are not effective. Daily full system scans are not performed. Offsite backups are not maintained. And a lack of administrator controls on networks. While most of these items may be handled by an IT professional, all users need to understand the basic elements. Only strict authorized users should be able to control or change networks. Individual users should have strict roles and permissions set up. Strict standards should be applied to secure wireless networks and never use free, passwordless networks. Use virtual private networks, or VPNs, and secure shell, or SSH, whenever possible.
Now let's talk about the internet-level security. While the internet is great, it is a world of everything. Aliens. Cupcake recipes. And we don't need to talk about that.
When connected to the internet, attacks can come in many ways. Let's talk about what these attacks look like, who the perpetrators are, and how you can recognize their evil schemes.
So, what is a threat? Well, it's the potential targeting of a network or system in an attempt to damage, harm, or disrupt its capability to operate.
An organization's data has three aspects to consider. Confidentiality, it should be accessed only by authorized users. Integrity, it should be accurate. And availability, can we get to it when we need to? A cyber criminal would like to mess up all three aspects. Common threats include the theft of data, including confidential, proprietary, and sensitive information, the modification of data, and the compromise of how that data is collected, processed, and stored, or the unauthorized access to data, like allowing a bad actor to gain access and block everyone else out.
What is a threat actor, and why would anyone want to commit cybercrimes? Oh, there are lots of reasons.
Man, I want to make some money.
I hate this place.
I hate my ex-girlfriend. She works here. I'm looking for some dirt.
I'm gonna trade this information on the dark web.
I wanna see if I can do it. And to watch the world burn.
The idea of a hacker sitting in a dark room, running code, and cracking firewalls is still valid. But threats can come from much more seemingly harmless sources.
So what is meant by risk?
Risks are choices made by an organization and its technology and people. Technology risks include the hardware and software choices, system engineering, and choices related to the Internet of Things. People risks are employees. What's the morale? Do they care? Have they been trained? And then outside vendors, how are they interacting with the pillars of your organization? Some risk is needed. Our offices are highly connected to the Internet. In some aspects, we can't do our jobs without it. Simply turning on the Internet is risky, but we need it, so we accept those risks. The challenge is knowing it exists and how to handle it. So, what is a cyber attack? Any attempt to gain access or control of an organization's data or information systems, no matter what the level of sophistication. Attacks can come from many places. Emails, phone calls, texts, USB drives and flash drives, the Internet of Things, and even letters. Phishing. When someone tries to gain your information, typically usernames and passwords, to your banks. Spear phishing, a targeted phishing campaign to a specific person as opposed to a large blast. Social engineering, non-technical contact looking for the same info as phishing. It might be done through a casual, often pleasant phone call. Whaling, phishing attempt to high-level executives. Malware, software intended to damage your devices and networks. Ransomware, malware that locks users out of their devices until some ransom is paid. In 2018, ransomware cost organizations $11.5 billion. And phishing. Voice phishing is phishing done on the phone, often through voicemail. Here's a common attack.
What about this? I got a pop-up saying that I need to update my Flash player. What should I do?
You should only download things from trusted sources because it could be malware. Malware covers things like viruses, trojans, worms, backdoors, spyware, and more. Mal means bad things, so I'd be very skeptical.
Got it. Thank you.
What about this one? It says my credit card is maxed out. I need to log in and verify. Looks like it's from my bank. They got the logo and everything.
Sounds like classic phishing.
Let's talk about ways to identify phishing emails. The message contains a mismatched URL. The URL contains a misleading domain name. The message contains poor spelling and/or grammar. The message asks for personal information. The offer seems too good to be true. You didn't initiate the action. You're asked to send or provide money or payment. The message includes unrealistic threats. Something just doesn't look right. The email includes an embedded link or attachment that you are asked or tempted to open.
I just got this email from my CEO. He says he's on vacation, so that's why he's using Gmail. He needs me to send a payment to a vendor pronto, or else they're going to cut off services.
Sounds strange, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it is. Never turn off your skeptic filter when using the Internet.
So, how should you respond to an attack? Remember, the delete key is the most powerful key in your security system. And anytime you're in doubt, check with your IT professional. Cyber criminals feed off of your desire to be nice. Trust me, if your CEO needs help, he'll find a normal way to get it. So will your bank. Remember, attackers send out millions of emails, and your recognizing their evil schemes could save your organization thousands of dollars.
So, what should you do when you notice an attack?
Or if you find yourself accidentally wondering, what did I just click? For internal reporting, all suspicious activity should be reported according to your internal policy.
For external reporting, contact all involved parties, including contractors and vendors. And remember, cyber crimes must be reported to law enforcement. Now, remember, everyone in your organization needs these tools to ensure reliability, usability, and security.
You need policies that ensure information security, vetting, and training of everyone involved, both inside the organization and outside.
Good luck. Oh, should we give them their stuff back?
Sure. Maybe next time they'll be a little more cyber secure. Thanks for watching. Good luck on your test.
Employees are most often a company's most expensive resource, and from an IT security perspective, they're usually the biggest security risk.
Yep, bonus training right there, sir.
Council, if you enjoyed that training, hug a legislator when you see them, because they are the reason that you...
And also, I understand they're taking it as well.
I do not know if it was a requirement for the state to do it or just local governments. I'm not sure.
The state... state employees are required to do it along with their legislative bodies, I believe, plus any state contractors have to go through cybersecurity training too.
So if we get an email from the state government in Austin, so we're safe to answer that then?
Not necessarily. They okay, get thank spoofed you. A lot, sir.
Okay, thanks, Gary. Next item is under staff reports, receive and discuss the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is David Mitchell, city manager. But we'll start with finance. I just want to point out, Council, there we have our usual online utility bill payments, automated phone payments, kiosk payments, as well as number of e-bills sent out. But again, you'll see in those numbers that the citizens continue to use those resources. So they're not really coming into the lobby. It appears that a lot more people are using our online resources to take care of those things. Moving to Parks and Recreation, there is an updated amenity reopening dates that have been posted on the Parks and Recreation website. So beginning June the 15th, the following will reopen: playgrounds, exercise stations at Carlevin Park, bottle filling stations, and outdoor basketball courts. Of course, we continue to encourage, and we'll have signs up that strongly encourage our patrons to continue to follow CDC recommendations on proper hygiene and social distancing. The Outrun the Sun virtual 5K fun run will be held at your leisure the weekend of June 20th to the 21st. Register on the Parks and Recreation website, and the cost is $25 per participant, and all runners will receive a participant t-shirt and medal. Moving to our police department, just want to point out that the police department did receive a letter of thanks from Bell County Sheriff Eddie Lang, thanking them for the help that the county received from the Harker Heights Police Department and Honor Guard. As you know, the Bell County Sheriff's Department lost two deputies over a very short period there. Moving to our library, just point out there towards the bottom that we have this week is Explore the High Seas with special online performances by the Duelist at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. on Wednesday, June the 10th. I'm a Pirate Storytime at 10:15 and Talk Like a Pirate Family Night at 6 p.m. on Thursday, June 11th. And watch our Facebook for pirate science games, book lists, and more. Also, shout out to the Friends of the Library. They sponsored both the Read Squared online reading club and creativity kits for kids. These kits will be given to kids who do not have supplies or the internet access to explore some of the library's online programs. Each kit will include art supplies, several instruction sheets for crafts, summer reading club materials, and a book. Again, thanks to the Friends of the Library for supporting our community. Moving to the Activity Center, again, Council, I want to point out that we do have the 2020 flag retirement drive ongoing, so you can drop off your worn flags at the Activity Center. Last year, we received over 100 flags to be properly retired, and that flag drive will continue until June the 15th. During the month of June, fun facts will be posted each week on social media about the Texas state insect, which is the monarch butterfly, so be looking for that. Also, just wanted to point out that Activity Center staff is continuing to communicate with our senior recreation members through monthly newsletters, weekly emails, as well as checking on them by making phone calls. Council, you do have as well a copy of your Fort Hood Fast Facts, and we'll make sure we get that emailed out if we haven't already to those that are not here tonight. That concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay. Any questions for city manager? Okay. Thank you. Next item is announcements. Do we have any other announcements? Hearing none, the time is 6:09 and we're adjourned.
This conference is no longer being recorded.